I am complete in him. I wonder if you've often thought about what to be complete means. Those of us who are married understand that word in the sense when a DIY job is there, because generally we start jobs and we don't complete them. Well, that is my experience anyway, and I was with somebody yesterday, and we were sacrificed our time yesterday to do a job for the church, involved having tea and coffee and things, but sometimes you just got to do these things and cake. But anyway, we decided we had to go and do something. So this man texted his wife and just said, carry on painting. No. No, I don't think so, Mary. Where was I? Oh, yes, so he texts his wife miles away saying, carry on with the painting. Hopefully it's going to be complete by the time I get home. His wife responded, and I haven't heard language like it for a while. But Rob, didn't go home, I think, till late last night. But I'm hoping the painting is complete. Is it complete?
Not quite.
Okay. So, Kay and Hill have moved into a 13-bedroom house. on the swimming pool. Now, I don't know, Kay, are you complete in all the boxes now? Been unwrapped and everything now is in its place?
Not quite.
I actually had a school governor's meeting, and it was at 5 o'clock, and I got out of the car, and I was a little bit late, not too late, and Kay was strolling down the road, because Kay's a teacher at that school, strolling down the road, completely in a world of her own. I'm standing there like this, hi Kay, completely on her own, and I just said, how has the move gone? And she went, well, we've moved. And we all know, isn't it, when you move home, what it's like to get complete in the sense of getting all the boxes done and all of those things done. But Jesus wants us to know that when we come to him, he makes us complete. Jesus is literally saying, boys and girls, moms and dads, you know, if you were to take me into your heart, children, you would be complete in him. He would be able to give you all that you need. Because Jesus said that he has loved you before the world began. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know how old the world is. I don't. Some people think it's billions. Some feel it's a few thousand years. I don't know. But all I do know is that before God put the stars into space, that God loved us. God loved us. Boys and girls, God loved you long before he made the earth, the sky, the concrete that you see. Before you were even born. He loved you, children, even though he knew sometimes you would be bad. Because sometimes we're bad, aren't we? We're not always good, are we? If we're honest. I'm 99.9, but there's still that little 1% sometimes when I don't get it right. But God loves me, even though sometimes I'm bad. He doesn't love me in the sense that he enjoys me being bad. No, that makes him sad. When we're bad, it makes Jesus sad. And when we're good, it makes Jesus glad. But he still loves us. And when you think about life, Solomon said this. Solomon was so confused when he did a study of life. He said, life is meaningless. This is what the wisest man in the world said. He said, I've looked at life and, you know, he says, I find it's meaningless. It has a beginning and it has an end. And he said, in between, he got so depressed, he said, the best thing to do is just go out and have a good time. Well, that was a bit of a wrong philosophy. You see, Solomon hadn't understood that God loved him from the beginning of the world and that God had a plan for his life. Well, you know, it's true in your friendships, Megan and Abby, precious. It's true in your friendship. Sometimes you will have had friends who stay with you, but sometimes your friends won't. I bet you can tell me names of people who are no longer your friends. Friends come and go, don't they? No, don't they? I know someone said to me, I've got a, 1,000 people as friends on Facebook. I thought, how sad. I'd rather have two friends I'd go out with this evening and have a curry. But we haven't eaten. But we're living in this space medium world, aren't we? I'm 1,000 friends on Facebook. Now, I'm not saying Facebook's wrong, because I'm on Facebook. It's the only way I can catch up what Jane's actually doing with her life. So Facebook, I've got no problem with Facebook. But I'd rather have a real friend. Wouldn't you? A real friend where you can go and grab a coffee and tea with. But I know friends are going to come and friends are going to go. I also know that, I bet if I was to ask you children, it's the same with your relationship. I bet you've had uncles and aunties who have come and who have gone. And once you thought, they really love me, and now you don't think they really like you. Because families do that, don't they? Families break up and families tend to get fractionized. Even friends and family can come and go. But Jesus wants you to know this morning, you are complete in Him. I want to tell you something. It's going to happen with you. You are going to fall out with people as you grow older. Believe me, the more you grow older, it doesn't mean to say that your friends are going to last. Or even families are going to last. Trust me. And especially when you get married and you have mother-in-laws and things like this. There will be times when it just won't work out. And it's called growing up and accepting the fact. Now, boys and girls, you need to understand that make the right relationship grow, you've got to put some work into it. But they won't necessarily always last. But God wants you to know this morning that His relationship with you will always last. Because God's love doesn't change. Not only does God love you before the world began, but God's love will never change towards you. I want to tell you that's not true in my family. That's not true in my friends. They have changed. Now, I've moved into Reading 6 years ago since I've been in Birmingham, and some of the people that I was in contact with in Reading very rarely contact me now because I don't really see them. I know what's going on in Facebook in their lives, and I'm sure if I was to go back to Reading tomorrow, I'm sure our relationship would be rekindled through time. But what I'm saying at this present time, my relationship with some of my people and friends in Reading has changed. Now tomorrow I'm going to see my godchildren tomorrow, and I'm going to be spending 3 days with Alex and Katie and George and Sharon. And it's going to be great. Now, I haven't spoken to George and Sharon for a while, but as soon as we get together, it'll be like as if we've never been apart. We have one of those relationships where if I don't see them or speak to them for 6 months, and it can happen because of the busyness of life, as soon as I do, it almost seems as if we've never been away. I don't know whether you've had those relationships, but our relationship with George and Sharon and my girls hasn't changed. But it has. It has with my senior pastor, Billy, who's going to come up to you and speak to you on the 22nd of June. I hope you're all going to come out that morning. He's a great speaker. And Billy is going to come, and he's going to come and speak to us on that Sunday morning on the 22nd. Is it the 22nd of June? It is the 22nd of June. But I want you to know, boys and girls, that God's love doesn't change. You can be assured that God will love you. See, what does it say? God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. As he said, he shall do. As he has spoken, shall he not make it. In other words, God's never told a lie. Isn't that good news? God has never told a lie, boys and girls. So you know that if God says something to you, it's going to be true because God cannot lie. I have. I've told a lie. God doesn't lie. So when God says, I've loved you ever since before the world began, when God says, listen, my love for you will not change, what is he saying? His love will not change towards you, children. God will love you today, and he will love you tomorrow. And that's exciting news, boys and girls, because I am telling you, Jesus Christ said this, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, Jesus says, I don't have moods and swings. You girls do, and us boys do. We have moods and swings, and if you know, sometimes if people say something to us, we get offended. Well, we're all very easily offended. And seriously, as Christians, we're very easily offended. It doesn't take much to switch the lights off. And we can change our relationships one towards another. But God says in His Word in Hebrews 13, verse 8, that I never change. I am the same today, and I will be the same forever. Because God's love is not based on how He feels, Adam. God's love is based on an action. Can anybody, boy and girl, mom, dad, tell me how God has shown His love for you as an action? Not as a feeling, as an action. One thing is He gave Jesus. The greatest love that He could give you was to allow Jesus, His own Son, to suffer a horrible death at Calvary. Do you know what they did, boys and girls? They put nails in His hands and they did some horrible things to Jesus. Some horrible things to Him. And He allowed it to happen because He said, I love every boy and girl in Pipe Hayes. I love them and I want them to have a relationship with me. Because even though men are going to put a nail in my hands and a nail in my feet, do you know, I will still love them. Wow, that's love, isn't it? Someone walked up to some, you know, on a football field, sometimes people spit. That's awful, isn't it? It's awful. And yet people spat at Jesus, and Jesus said, do you know, I still love those people who spat at me. Wow, I think that was a big, big thing to do. You see, God's love wasn't based on how He felt. God's love's built on an action. God loves, said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep you in clothes and I'm going to feed you and I'm going to look after you and care for you. And I can tell you, boys and girls, if you put your trust in Jesus, I'm a lot, lot older than you are, but God's never let me down. I couldn't work for a year and yet God provided food for me every day. It was beans on toast and it was egg and beans. It wasn't caviar. But boys and girls, God just said, I will provide for Edward. Because Edward can't go to work for a year. And I love him. How can I show Eddie that I love him? I'll provide for everything. And you know, I have to pay some bills. And I had no money. How was I going to pay my bills? And you know, Jesus sent some money to me in a check. Someone knocked on my door and said, Edward, God said this morning, He thinks you need this money more than I do. And boys and girls, I was able to pay my gas bill. You see, God's love is an action. It's not a feeling. If you are resting on it, whether your mom and dad, you think your mom and dad feels that they love you, your love won't last, boys and girls. But how many of you moms and dads look after you? How many of them clothe you? I can see you're all looking pretty good today. You're looking pretty cool with that t-shirt on. Don't know, Peter, whether you want one of these t-shirts, mate. Looks pretty cool to me, mate. You know, but you're on nicely dressed, aren't you? No, seriously, aren't they? And I bet you've had breakfast this morning. And we've had cakes in there. Your moms and dads, you've got a bed to go to. Boys and girls, you should be grateful. Your mom and dad love you and they showed they love you by the things they do for you. God showed His love by sending Jesus. But God shows His love, as I say, because He kept me in food. He paid my bills. One day, boys and girls, when I was your age, I was walking down the street and there was a gang of lads coming for me. And I was frightened. They're no more older than you were. And I was going to Sunday school. Because in those days we didn't have cars. We walked everywhere. And as I walked towards them, I just thought, you know, they're going to jump on me and they're going to beat me up. Because they knew I went to church and they used to laugh at me. And they used to skit. And now I was walking down to church and I just thought, what is going to happen? And you know, as I walked up to them, they all just parted and walked past me. And they never said a word. You see, God protected me. God looked after me. Because God loves me. And He loves you. And you can put your protection in God's hands if you want. You can ask God into your life this morning and God will become your protector and your guardian. But that's happened to me as I've grown up too. I once went to a football match, and we were playing a team called Newcastle. They are the worst team in the world, by the way. And as I was walking out of the ground, these lads who were supporting Newcastle, they saw my Sunderland shirt. And what do you think they wanted to do? They really wanted to get me. And I just said, God, I need to be Sebastian Coe. And I tell you what I was. I've never run the 100 metres so quick in all my life. But God protected me. Boys and girls, I just want to let you know, you've got to understand how much God loves you. This is the first Sunday of the month, or the last Sunday of the month, so that's why we're talking to you boys and girls for. Mums and dads will have to put up with it if they think it's not deep theological, but it applies to them as well. God loves them too. But the last Sunday of the month, we want to concentrate as a family service. And I want you boys and girls to understand 10 years from now, I want you to think back at the time you sat in this church and you understood that God loved you before the world began. And God's love has never changed towards you. And God's love will protect you. And we read this in Isaiah. You see, boys and girls, these people were doing some bad things. And God said, don't do those bad things. But they still kept on doing those bad things. Do you think God still loved them? Do we think God still loved them? That's right, boy. That's right. You've got it. That's right. God still loved them. He didn't like what they were doing and he had to punish them. And that's why sometimes we have to go on the naughty step. And like Simon White is on the naughty step generally at least once a day. You know, he's on that naughty step because sometimes that has to happen. You've got to be on the naughty step, haven't you? But, we're still loved. So when your parents have to punish you, you need to understand they still love you. And God said, listen, even though you have been bad people, do not be afraid. I have called you by my name. You're mine. God said, listen, boys and girls, listen, mum and dads, listen, if you've took me in as your saviour, if you genuinely have taken me in your life, God says you are his. And there's an old hymn which says, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? In other words, when things go bad, where are you going to fix everything? And Jesus wants you to know that you can go to him when the rough storms get rough. We have an anchor that's strong and secure, steadfast and sure while the billows roll. We have an anchor called Jesus. Someone we can fix and depend upon because Jesus said, you are mine. What does he say here, boys and girls? Because I am God, your personal God. Do you know Jesus is your personal God this morning? I ask you, do you? Amen. Just give a clap. Someone who's there recognize their God, their everlasting God. Listen, that's lovely. Isn't it good to know that you know that you know that God loves you? Friend, it doesn't matter whether you become the world's greatest technician or whether or not. If you know the love of God, that can't be replaced. He loved you before the world began. God has always loved you. And what is God's love? Come on, what is God? Some of us adults might be thinking, well, this is so simple. Well, yes, it is simple this morning. But do you know it in your heart? I'm not interested in whether you know it in your mind. I'm not interested whether this is the greatest theological thing you've ever heard. But can you honestly say in your heart that you know God's always loved you before the world began? That God has not changed toward you. Even though God hasn't answered your prayer. Even though God hasn't done what you want God to do. God hasn't answered my prayers. But has God's love changed towards me? But does Eddie Lawrence believe that? Because pastors, you know, are the same as human beings. Do you can honestly say that I know that God loves me everlastingly? This may be simple, friends. But if some of us could get a hold of these three things and profoundly say they're deep rooted in our hearts, half of us wouldn't have the garbage that we have in our lives. Do you know that? Because we know that God loves us no matter what's happening to us. That we know that God's love will not change no matter what happens to us. And we know that God loved me even before he allowed me to be born into this world. It's not the education we need, the greatest thing in this world, boys and girls. The greatest thing you need to know is God's love. You get to know God's love, my friend, and you boys and girls will be able to face anything that comes along towards you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. I have loved you. And because God's love's everlasting, we are finished. Because God's love hasn't changed. Because God loved me before the world began. I can honestly say that God's love makes me complete. Hallelujah, friends. Can you say that this morning? All that I have is in Him. That's why when you get to heaven, you're going to bow down before a throne of grace this morning. You're going to bow down in front of Him in heaven. Because God's love has made you complete. You're going to find out that day that He's always loved you. That He has never changed towards you. And that for 1 billion years from now, you will still be loving Him. And He'll still be loving you. That's if you know Jesus as your Savior. Friends, I have to say that. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, God still loves you. And God hasn't changed towards you. God's everlasting love, you need to understand, has to be on the basis that you have a relationship with Jesus. In Him, you've been made complete. And that's why I put that verse up. I'm not going to speak on it because His time is gone. But that's the verse I go to, children, when I get really down and when I think that God doesn't love me. And when I'm sometimes a bit frightened or a bit scared, boys and girls, I go to this verse here in Romans 8:37 down to 8:39, and it gives me so much encouragement, boys and girls. And all these things we have complete victory through who? Him who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate me from what? Can death? Death isn't going to separate me from God's love. Oh, because it's everlasting. Can life, can angels, can heavenly rulers, can powers, can Kevin Nichols? Nothing can separate you boys and girls from the love of Jesus. Nothing can separate you. Oh, come on, a smile. God loves us.
Hallelujah.
You may not have anything in this world. You might not have 2 pennies to rub to you, but God's love will not change. God loves you. His ear is not deaf. He is not slack concerning His promises. His promises are yes and amen. His love is far. His power hath not. His word is still. And when you need Him, wonderful. And He can do it again. Hallelujah, boys and girls.